Hey y'all, welcome to my Flickers of Fear movie review show. Let's talk about Dean Koontz for a minute, because I kind of feel like after Stephen King, Dean Koontz is kind of like, you know, your big best-selling horror author. He sells, you know, a shit ton of books and sells, I think, almost as many as Stephen King does. And he's actually been writing for longer than Stephen King. I think he first started publishing books in the late 60s, where Stephen King started in the early 70s. So, you know, he's got like a prodigious output. But the strange thing about that is that despite his popularity and despite how many books he's put out, it really doesn't seem like there's been a shit ton of film adaptations of his work. There have been some, but not as many as you would think, and obviously not as many as Stephen King has, which is like Stephen King adaptations just like every, there's like hundreds of them probably at this point. But Dean Koontz adaptations, not so much, and the ones that they make tend not to be all that great. I kind of feel like prior to this one, I think like the best one was probably Demon Seed from 1977, which we reviewed like a long time ago. That was actually pretty damn good. And Watchers from the 80s, like 1988, I think that came out with Corey Haim. That was kind of fun. It's kind of very 80s and very goofy, but that was like pretty good. But some of the other ones just seem like they're really kind of forgettable or just kind of terrible, you know, which, like I said, I think it's really interesting, not only because he's so popular, but I've only read probably one or two of his books, maybe more than that, like over the years. And I get the sense that his writing style is very cinematic. So you would think that it would lend itself really well to the film medium. And yet, there really aren't that many that, and you know, even the ones that are out there just really aren't all that noticed, honestly, because when I looked up like the list of all the movies of that had been made of Dean Koontz's books, it's like I haven't even seen most of them or heard of most of them, so it seemed like they didn't really do any big business or anything like that. However, back in 2011, you got Stephen Sommers. Now, we've talked about him before because he is the writer-director behind massive hits like The Mummy and The Mummy Returns. He also did Van Helsing back in 2004. And he also did the very underrated and quite cool monster movie from 1998, Deep Rising, which I reviewed on this series like not too long ago. So he wanted to adapt Dean Koontz's 2003 best-selling novel Odd Thomas to a movie. Now, the book was a massive success, and following that success, it actually ended up spanning like a huge series. It was like six sequels. There were three prequels, which I think were also graphic novels, and then there was a couple other novellas, which were sort of like, I don't know if they were necessarily like off, you know, like offshoots or something like that, but they were just kind of like other like standalone adventures. So this is like a massive, massive series, the Odd Thomas series. And, you know, they all kind of feature the titular character whose name is Odd Thomas. Now, I will say that of all the Dean Koontz adaptations I've seen, which is not a lot, admittedly, this one is pretty fucking good. So I don't think anyone will probably argue with me all that much that as far as now, this is probably the best Dean Koontz adaptation by a very, very significant margin, because this movie is pretty fucking good. Now, the movie was actually finished in 2011, but then there were a bunch of legal problems, like with the production company. I don't know exactly like what all the wrangling was all about, but the upshot of it was that the movie kind of like sat on a shelf for 2 years, so it wasn't released until 2013. And even then, it got like a really half-assed release. It sort of like snuck into theaters for like a minute and nobody saw it. Nobody talked about it, nothing. And even though it cost $27 million to make, it made less than $2 million back. So I kind of feel like maybe after Anton Yelchin died in 2016 in like a fucking freaky ass accident, like where his own SUV like rolled over on him and like crushed him. It's like, well, it was horrible. You know, and he was only like, I think he was only 27 when he died. So when he died in 2016, I think that this movie got like a little bit more recognition just because people were going back and, you know, looking at his filmography up to that point. But really, it just seems like just people don't really talk about it, even though there's like all these big names behind it. You know, like Stephen Sommers, who's like a massive director, and Dean Koontz, who's like a massive horror writer. And it just kind of seems like nobody really talks about it. And that's really a shame, because this is actually a really fun and also kind of like emotionally wrenching, like a very like a heartfelt type of movie. But it's just like a fun roller coaster type ride. It's got like really cool special effects and shit like that. Maybe, I don't know, I'll get into it a little bit later, but maybe like the tone of it like was weird for people. I'm not really sure, but I'll get into that a little bit later. So Anton Yelchin plays the title character, whose name is Odd Thomas. And he kind of explains at the beginning that, oh, well, my mom said that she was supposed to name me Todd, but they messed it up on the birth certificate or whatever. So it was just like, so I don't know, but that's his first name. His first name is Odd. So he's kind of this lovable 20-something year old guy, and he's working as a fry cook in this little sort of diner in this small town called Pico Mundo, which is like in the American Southwest, and was like in New Mexico, I think it is. Now, Odd has a pretty simple existence. He keeps things minimal. He doesn't have a car. He doesn't have, you know, anything. He says at the beginning, I don't own a house. I don't own anything. Because I want to keep everything, like, as simple as possible. But he does have a girlfriend who he loves more than life itself. And her name is Bronwyn Llewellyn, although she's better known as Stormy. That's how she's always known. So the two of them have known each other since they were kids. And they kind of do, like, all these flashbacks where they got this little card from one of those carnival fortune teller things. And it said, you'll be together forever. And they actually, like, believe that. So they are very much in love with each other. Now, Stormy works at the mall. And she works, like, in an ice cream shop. So she manages an ice cream shop or something like that. So, Odd, though, has a very strange gift. Much like Cole in The Sixth Sense, he can see dead people. Significantly unlike Cole, Odd usually, when he sees people who come to, like, dead people come to him for help, and he will actually go and try to, like, unravel the mystery, and he'll actually, like, go kick someone's ass if an ass needs kicking, you know what I mean? So he's kind of, like, trained in fighting and stuff, like, not, it's not, like, ninja or anything like that, but he can hold his own if he has to. For example, at the beginning of the movie, like, to establish this, he's visited by this little girl, you know, you don't know she's a ghost at first, but he's kind of, like, talking in narration. So this little girl comes to him, and she, the dead people don't talk. That's one thing in the movies, which I kind of liked. He said he can see them, and they can gesture, and they can kind of give him psychic visions, like by touching him and stuff, but they can't talk. So this little girl comes to him, and she was murdered, and the guy that killed her is a local, and Odd knows him. So once he finds out, like, who it is, he actually, like, gives chase to the guy, like, beats the shit out of him. And then, you know, he makes sure, like, the cops come and they find evidence and stuff like that. So he gets arrested and put away. Now, happily for Odd, the chief of police of the town, who is played rather delightfully by Willem Dafoe, knows all about Odd's psychic gift. He knows he can see dead people, and because every single thing that Odd has told him has happened, like, exactly the way he said, so he actually does believe it, and he takes him seriously. And he's also, like, they're also friends, so he'll always kind of, like, finagle things, you know, like, when this child killer gets collared, you know, he's like, oh, well, we'll just say that you saw the pictures of the dead girl in his car, and, like, you just, you know what I mean? So he's kind of trying to make it so that other people don't find out about his gift, you know what I mean? So he's always kind of, like, trying to engineer behind the scenes so he doesn't get found out. Now, not too long into the movie, Odd starts to sense that something really, really big and really, really bad is going to happen in the town. Because, mostly, recently he's been seeing a bunch more of these things. He calls them Bodaks. They're kind of these weird demon-y sort of creatures. They kind of come out of the earth. They're sort of clear, but they're kind of, like, look like monsters, and they, like, kind of climb all over the walls and ceilings and stuff. They actually feed on human suffering and misery. Bodax, I looked up because I was like looking up on the Wikipedia page. I'm like, oh, that's a real thing. I guess it's a real thing. And well, it's not a real thing, obviously, but it's a thing in Gaelic folklore, although they're not usually like seen as demons. They're more like, well, I guess they're sort of seen as like boogeymen type things, or like trickster spirits kind of things. So that's what he calls them, Bodax. Now, the Bodax don't cause bad things to happen, but you know that something really bad's going to happen when they, you know, when you see a bunch of them, because they're like getting ready to feast on this big, massive, because he's like, if it's just, you know, he's like, if it's just like one person getting murdered, he's like, you know, that's bad, but that doesn't draw them in. It has to be like a big, huge fucking deal where there's like a lot of human suffering, and then they'll come out and like start, you know, getting ready to like feed on it, right? So he knows that something really, really terrible is going to happen. And, you know, he's going around the town and he just sees them all over the place, which means that a bunch of people in the town are going to die soon. Now, nobody can see the Bodax but him, obviously, because he's a psychic and he can see dead people and interdimensional beings or whatever. But significantly, the Bodax, he has to pretend that he can't see them, because if they realize that they can see him, then they'll kill him. So sometimes, like, he'll be, like, there'll be scenes where he's, like, in a diner and he just sees the Bodax, like, climbing all over all these people and stuff like that, and he just has to, like, act all natural, like he doesn't see what he sees. You know what I mean? Because if they recognize that he sees them, then he's in big trouble. So there's not only that, he already sees all these like demon things like crawling around, but he also has this really weird like dream vision type situation where he's like in an alley and then he sees all of these people that are wearing like red and black like bowling shirts, and he sees them all getting shot, and none of them have any faces, and they're all like grabbing him like, help us, help us. And he's just like, what the fuck was that all about? Like, he doesn't have any idea what it's all about. And then he finds out, like, his coworker, Vi, she also had a nightmare where she got shot and, like, she looked over and saw somebody else lying next to her that also had a red and black bowling shirt on. So he's like, okay, well, obviously, this is has to do with, like, whatever the big bad thing is going to happen. So Odd knows that something really, really terrible, really awful is coming down the pipe, but he doesn't know exactly what it is or exactly when it's going to happen. So basically the movie is him trying to like piece together the mystery so he can prevent whatever is going to happen is going to happen, because he knows it's going to be awful and like a lot of people are going to die. Now the first thing he sees, there's this guy he sees at the restaurant where he works, and he calls him. He has this really weird hair. It's kind of like, I can't really explain it, but it's just sort of like normal color at the top, but then it has like a blonde cap. Or I think like Stormy at one point says it looks like a yellow yarmulke. So yeah, so it looks like that, but it's like, it kind of looks like, he said it was like a weird, like yellowy moldy color. So they start calling him Fungus Bob, but he sees Fungus Bob in the restaurant and he notices that the Bodax are like crawling all over this guy, and he's like, okay, well, this guy obviously has something to do with whatever the bad thing is that's going to be happening, so probably I should start following that guy. Like, he does try to kind of hook up with the police and everything like that, but they're like, look, we don't, you know, there's no evidence to tie him, dude, we can't just like arrest him for shits and giggles because a psychic said so, you know. So he starts following him around to see if he can get evidence and see like what the fuck it is that's going to happen. So from then on, the movie is essentially just this really, really kind of a roller coaster ride of like twists and turns and like a bunch of action set pieces, or like some really cool special effects, shit like that, because Odd is sort of like racing against time to figure out what this disaster, what this tragedy is that's going to happen, who's involved in it, how he can prevent it. And so it's that kind of thing. So the tone of this is very similar. I'm not the only person that, because I was watching it and I was like, oh, this is like The Frighteners, the Peter Jackson movie from 1996 with Michael J. Fox. This is very, it's not the same, but tonally, it's sort of similar. So, you know what I mean? Where it's kind of like, it's kind of like a comedy. Like, it has funny shit in it, and it's kind of like lighthearted bits. But then it's also kind of like has a lot of dark, you know, it has a lot of darkness to it as well. And Not gonna lie, I'm not gonna spoil it, but the end of this, I kind of thought, I was like, oh my god, is somebody like cutting onions in this room right now? Like, you know what I mean? The ending of it is kind of a gut punch. It was like pretty sad. But yeah, so if you like The Frighteners, you would probably like this as well. I wouldn't call it a horror comedy necessarily. It does have a lot of humor in it, but it also has a lot of fucked up shit in it. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of, just like The Frighteners did. And I kind of feel like maybe that's why this movie didn't do better, even though this is a really, really good movie. I kind of feel like the same sort of thing dogged The Frighteners, because people were just kind of like, well, wait, is this, well, there's serial killers and there's gore and it's scary, but then it's like funny and like people couldn't really like, I don't know. I feel like people didn't really like the tone as much. I feel like The Frighteners is sort of got a reassessment like later on. Like when it came out, people were just like, didn't know what to make of it, I guess. But it sort of got a cult following later on. And I kind of hope that that happens with Odd Thomas as well. Because, you know, as I said, I can see it's things that are like horror movies that are like this, that have a tone like this, are a hard sell because it's not an overt horror comedy. But it's not like an overt horror movie either. It's sort of like a paranormal, what would I call it? Like a paranormal action horror, kind of, with some comedic elements, like a dark comedy. Because, I mean, there is like some gory shit in this, but it's funny too, but like black humor. So it's hard to kind of square. But like I said, if you like The Frighteners, then you would probably like this as well because the tone of it is pretty similar. Now, as I said, it's kind of fucking disgraceful that this movie just didn't find an audience and it just financially tanked, and that was shitty. Also, obviously, it's terrible and heartbreaking that Anton Yelchin died so young, just when he was getting ready to be a big star. I kind of feel like had circumstances been different, this would have been a really good first movie. And you could kind of tell, I don't want to say at the end of this they were like setting it up like for a series or for a sequel or whatever, but had they wanted to go in that direction, they could have, because it was kind of left open. And as I said, the book had 6 sequels and a bunch of, and some prequels and stuff as well. So they absolutely could have made like a franchise out of this, which I totally would have watched, because Odd Thomas was such a great character, and you could just show him having like different adventures, you know, seeing ghosts, and he could like solve mysteries and stuff like that. That would be like really kick ass. But of course, because this movie didn't do very well, and unfortunately because Anton Yelchin died, and I really don't think I could see anyone else in that role. I mean, he was kind of like perfectly cast in that role because he was just kind of, you bought that he could, you know, sort of fight and be tough and everything like that, but he was also like really sweet and really vulnerable, and you know, he was just like a genuinely good person, and I think he sold that really well. So unfortunately, you know, he's passed away now, so you know, they're not going to be able to do that. But I do really think he was perfectly cast in this movie, and you know, it's really a shame, and I hate when that happens, like when there's such a good movie like this and like not a lot of people have seen it. But as I said, if you're really into these kind of like paranormal action type things, maybe like The Frighteners, as I mentioned, then probably you would dig this, and I would recommend checking it out because it really does need more love, I think. I believe it's on Amazon Prime, at least as of this recording, and it might be some other streaming services as well. So go check it out. Or if you've seen it, let me know what you think about it in the comments. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.